Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Janice Pinnell, your host of Beauty Talk, and welcome to the last edition of Beauty Talk for 2010. We don't have a special guest tonight, anyone in particular. Our special guest is you, so thank you for listening. If you have a comment about the show or comment about whatever we're talking about, please call in. I see maybe about four or five people on the line now who may be just listening, and that's fine, but I just want to let you know, if you want to speak, please push the option to speak to the host, and then that way I can see that there's a hand up and I can bring you into the conversation. If I don't see the hand up, then I'm not sure that you want to speak or not. So if you want to speak and say something, just push the option, and I'm not sure if you have to hang up and call back in, or you can just push the option at any time. I believe you can push the option at any time, and I can bring you into the conversation. And I don't know if my sister Denise has any beauty news or anything special she wants to say, but go for it if you do.
I have two quick things really quickly. One, I just wanted to let everyone know about our end-of-the-year clearance sale at illusionsbeauty.com. You can receive 30% off of whatever we have in stock. So whatever you order, if it's in stock, you can get 30% off. If it's not in stock, you just can't have it. You'll have to wait until we restock early next year. Sorry about that. And if it's your first time ordering, you can actually get 35% off. And for those of you who are makeup artists, make sure you check out our pro artist section on our website, and so that you can receive 30% off of products and 10% off of brush, 15% off of brushes at all times. So now that that is out of the way, I wanted to do some quick thank yous to some of our followers in the Beauty Lounge who join us every week, or, you know, as much as possible, and just also to some of our guests that we've had throughout the year, which Sarah Seidman is one, and I see you in the Beauty Lounge, so thank you for joining us, Sarah. And I also wanted to just kind of call out a couple of other names: Rochelle, Jennifer James, Sharon Tina, Frances Williams, Suzanne Patterson, Tim Bukharin, Sarah, of course, Santara, Tanisha, Karis, Christina, Cynthia Jones, Siobhan, Maxie, Shauna Janelle, Gina, and Janelle. And I see someone new, Jeanette. Thank you for joining us. And I know it's a bunch of people out there, and I can't remember everybody's names, but these were just a few that I did remember, so I just wanted to thank you all for joining us week after week and for joining us tonight. And whatever you have, let's go. Any questions, any comments, you can call in at 914-803-4399, or you can just put your questions or comments in the Beauty Lounge.
Sarah, since you're on the line with us.
Yes, ma'am.
Since my sister said all of her thank yous, I want to be able to say thank you to you as well for joining us on several occasions, whether you were giving us some information about, you know, HD, makeup and lighting, or whether you were just joining the conversation altogether. Thank you so much for being here with us and supporting us.
You're very welcome. I enjoy it, and any chance to be able to share the knowledge, because I can't take it with me when I go to, you know, to meet my maker, so, you know, got to impart it and send it out there so someone else can pick up the mantle.
Absolutely, absolutely. What changes have you noticed throughout the year in this business, in the beauty business? Have you noticed anything? Have things changed to you?
Yeah, well, I mean, the biggest thing I've noticed is the cropping up of quote-unquote makeup artists that really have not really been in the business, but because they have a following on something like YouTube or, you know, one of those avenues, you know, they're handing out knowledge. I'm a little bothered by that. Not that there isn't some of them that, you know, have a lot of good things to say, but I feel like people are turning to them because it's easy access and not really getting real good in-depth education.
Right. Right.
That's the biggest thing I've seen. And then, you know, we talked about this on one of the other shows, and it's still happening. The scams where production companies are trying to usurp having to get professionals because they don't want to pay for it, and advertising on places like Craigslist and promising things they can't deliver to just get somebody to do their project so they can keep their money. Greed. It's gotten, there's a whole lot of greed out there, and it's kind of sad because there's not enough people not working, and people are taking advantage of that, you know, getting people
right.
to work for them for free so they can build their resumes, but it's a disservice, really, when those kinds of things happen. So, you know, positively, you know, I'm grateful that the cosmetic industry is taking notice that there are cosmetics out there that are dangerous that people were kind of not aware of. And so those are positive things so that we can keep people safe, you know. So this year, that's been the thing. There's been a lot of new companies springing up, though, too. So there's a lot of makeup still to take a look at and see how they're developing it. But basically, technique.
Right.
That's, you know.
Well, let me ask you. You mentioned YouTube. And
yeah.
One of the things that I was just speaking to my sister about just today, earlier, the thing that bothers me about it is that a lot of people that you see on YouTube, and I'm not taking anything away from anyone, but
a lot of
what I see on YouTube is you'll have someone that's doing makeup on themselves, and a lot of them aren't even makeup artists. They just love beauty products and like trying out new beauty products and want to show everyone the new eyeshadow that they just received or whatever. And the thing that bothers me, and it goes back to exactly what you were saying, I feel like makeup artists, real makeup artists, you know, they go to YouTube to get their information, and I mean, these people will become YouTube superstars based on the following that they have from real makeup artists who go out there and watch these videos and get their so-called education. That just really bothers me.
Oh,
because
most
then when
definitely
when
bothers
have,
me. And then these people that have never stepped foot on a set of any kind, print, set, doesn't matter, are getting put up on these pedestals and asked to go speak at things, and they really have they no knowledge of the business at all. It's just
right.
because of how many people they have following them on YouTube. Again, it comes back to greed, because then those people that follow them on YouTube will go where they are, and the person running whatever thing it is, you know, whatever trade show it is reaping the benefit financially, but they're not,
right.
but nobody's benefiting as far as education-wise at all.
Right, right. And then you have these people who've been in the business for 20 and 30 years or whatever who are going around the country teaching classes, but no one wants to show up. No one wants to take the class because they don't want to spend whatever they're charging for the knowledge.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, even when you bring it down to a reasonable price, because there's some out there that have only been teaching for 4 or 5 years and only been in the business maybe 8, who are charging thousands of dollars. And because they're charging thousands of dollars, some people are flocking to them thinking, oh, well, it must be really good because they're charging so much. And then
right.
there's others that bring the price down to help make it more affordable. I did that with my lighting class, to make it more affordable because I know what the economy's like. And I only had, you know, I had 8 spots and I had 4 people show up. Now,
mm-hmm.
all those 4 people benefited because then we had more time. I had more time for that, each one individually, but they loved it. But I had brought it down to make it affordable. Yeah, it cut into what I, you know, my earnings, but that wasn't my point. My point was to give that
right.
education. Yeah, it's bothersome.
Right.
It's really bothersome to see the trend. You know, well, that, you know, people go, oh, I'll get this for this, you know, and nobody wants to pay for the real education, and that's sad.
Well,
it's sad.
Let's kind of go back to what you were saying early on about the makeup artist giving information. I guess
mm-hmm.
they're not really experienced makeup artists themselves. Like, what do you think they're thinking? Like, I mean, I'm not understanding how they think. I guess I just don't know what they're thinking, because I'm trying to figure out what makes them an expert.
They think they're an expert.
Right, and I'm not understanding that. Like,
well, I'll tell you this. What I've seen, I mean, I've been in the business a long time. Dang, I feel old. But anyway, what I see are these young up-and-comings, you know, these newbies that have come in the industry, and they think that it's easy. But what they don't understand is a whole lot more that goes on. And that's evident, though. When you see some of the people come out of those places where somebody's only been in the business maybe 8 years and been teaching the last 5, what experience have they gotten? They got a lot of book knowledge.
Right.
But that's not all there is. I was telling a makeup artist the other day, I said, I don't just tailor the makeup that I do to people for what their coloring is, what their skin tone is, and what the lighting is. I also have to tailor the makeup to what their habits are. If someone's a face toucher,
right.
I have to use a makeup that I know is not going to come off too easy because
right.
they always have their hands on their face. I mean, it's not just doing the makeup and making them look good. There's a whole lot more that goes into it, and I think a lot of the young and up-and-comings, all that what's in their mind is being red carpet famous, or
mm-hmm.
they know how much they had to pay to get someone to teach them, and they want that. They want to get some of that money. So
yeah.
they build themselves up. You know, I had, and I think I told you this one of the first times I was on the show. There was a young kid in his 20s who was an extra on a film I was working on, and he, you know, gave me his card and stuff, and then put on his website later on that he worked, and how he wanted it is that he worked on the box starring, you know, Franklin Jell listed everybody. The way it was said, he made it sound like he actually did makeup on the show. But, yes, he worked on it as a background talent, as an extra. But that's not what he said, and that's not how he worded it. And I actually ran into him on a commercial where he was working as a background talent again. And I told him, I said, you didn't work on that as a makeup artist. And the way that you worded this, you've made it look like you were. And he called himself a celebrity makeup artist, but he's never really done any celebrities.
Yeah.
They're beefing up themselves. They're putting things on their websites. I've caught people with my credits on their websites.
Oh, wow.
You know, I mean, there's been other makeup artists I know that have gone to somebody else's website and saw all of their work on their website.
Mm.
And saying they did the same thing as this other person. And their work was stolen from their website, off their website, and then put on this other person who was competing for jobs, too, and stole the work. Not just the photographs, but took work, billing themselves as equal to this other person who had worked their way up and was excellent at the job. And these people had just started.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Exactly. I want to know what some of the people that are on the phone line listening, what they think about it. And I do see Jennifer James. So, Jennifer, I'm picking on you. If you can speak, I'm going to bring you in. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer.
I didn't press one. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
yeah,
I can
hear
you still.
They want me to come in for a few minutes.
Yeah, because she told me that she was going to be in a noisy area, so she may not be able to talk. But
so how's the background noise? Is it cool?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, we're fine. If you could just speak up a little bit.
Okay, I just want to say real quick, Marietta was going in. I was loving everything you were saying. People need to hear this. People.
That's Sarah.
Well, this is Sarah.
That's Sarah.
This is Sarah. This is... Oh, yeah.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Sarah. I'm sorry. I have on a headset. I thought that was Marietta.
You're no problem.
Right.
My
we'll
southern accent
right
is
there.
Sounding.
I couldn't agree more. You know, I guess people kind of don't really understand. There's a process. And I've been very, it keeps coming back to me, a quote that I've seen by Einstein where he said, it would be better if you have learned something yourself before you set out to teach.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really famous quote. I don't have it exactly right, but that's the essence of it. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. I'm going to let you guys keep going. I have to get my thoughts together because I'm fried. I'm burning up.
Okay, well, we'll bring you back in a little later.
That'll be good. I'm gonna listen a little bit to you guys some more and tweet some more and just pull me back in when you're ready.
Okay.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
Everybody's waving. Any comments from the chat room?
There's a lot of interesting things in the chat room.
What was that, Sarah?
Yeah. They're talking about airbrush and...
Yeah, because
and,
you know...
And here's
you know,
that, that's why there's an influx of makeup artists.
Yeah. But Janelle Porter was
asking earlier about, you know, basically how to apply... you know, makeup that lasts all day, like, you know, I guess for a bride or for, I guess, any situation, like a music video or film or whatever.
Can we get back? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but can we get back to that question in 1 second? I wanted to bring another caller in. Okay. And this caller is from the 954 area code. Hello.
It's Marietta.
Hey, Marietta.
It's Marietta and it's Lalette.
Oh, Lalette.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are
Great.
You?
Does Marietta have you on her line?
We're sitting next to each other.
Where are you?
Oh, really?
Happy New Year.
How is that possible? Where are you?
We're in Davie.
You're where?
She's at my home.
Oh, she's at your
nice.
House.
Oh.
Don't let her influence you in any negative way, Lalette.
What did you say?
I told her don't let you influence her in any negative way.
Talk show, that's great.
Marietta and Lalette, we have Sarah on the phone, and she was just talking about she was talking about a couple of different things, but one of the things.
Hi, Marietta. How are you? I'm doing better now.
She was talking about earlier, we were talking about YouTube and how, you know, Marietta, we've talked about this before, how some of the, you know, the people, because I don't really know if they're makeup artists or not, but how some of the people on YouTube, they demonstrate a look, you know, on themselves and so many... The problem that I was saying was that so many makeup artists run to YouTube to watch this stuff, but won't take a class.
I know.
Like if you offered a class or if Sarah offered a class, your class is not full, but
the person on YouTube has over 560,000 views.
What's so amazing is that what they're not understanding that those, they're showing makeup on themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
And showing makeup, how to do makeup on other people. It's a huge difference.
Right.
It's a huge difference. They're not showing they're not showing you how to apply makeup on different faces. They're showing you how they apply makeup on themselves with their fingers.
Right.
It makes me crazy when they do that.
You know, I am appalled at some of the stuff I see, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right there with you, Marianne. It makes me nuts.
Lalette.
Yeah.
Have you watched some of these people on YouTube?
No, I have to take a look at it. I haven't. I haven't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't, then.
Crazy, though.
Don't. If you haven't, don't.
Okay. Don't. I have to see it now. I'm excited about seeing it to make me laugh.
Well, you know what? We're not.
Some new palettes that she just bought.
Yeah, some glitter palettes.
Some really creamy glitter eyeshadows that she just bought.
Oh, my God.
Well, Lala, why don't you do a YouTube video?
We need to do a YouTube video with this stuff that we're looking at right now, right?
Isn't that gorgeous?
Yeah, but the thing is, the difference is that you two would put it on each other. Show it on each other, not you know, getting in the camera, putting it on. And we're not knocking anybody who's on YouTube putting makeup on themselves. That's not the whole point of it.
You guys want to come join us?
Tell us the truth. Don't be afraid. No. So, Marianne, what have you noticed that's different about the business since the start of the year until now? Because that's the question that I asked Sarah, and that's how all this came up.
Oh, okay, that's different. It's so funny because I've been posting on Twitter lately and stuff, and I find that there are some very serious artists interested in pursuing, you know, getting their careers to the next level and looking for that next class, you know. The ones who really want to get their careers to the next level, I find they're looking for that next class. I think the kids are coming out from school really fast. The turnover is really fast. And I think that there's some crucial elements that are missing. I just started doing my online classes for students, pretty much to bridge that gap between school and the set. So the first class I did, and my student was in New York actually, was a script breakdown class. And, you know, she just gotten out of makeup school, and she just didn't feel that she had enough knowledge to break the script down. She was still searching for the right things, the right elements that she needed to find in breaking the script down. And after the class, she was like, oh, my God, you came. She said, I knew I had a lot of information, but my information wasn't tied together properly. She said, and you just took everything that I had and tied it together properly so that it could make sense. She said, now I have a better understanding of what I need to do in order to break that script down. Now I have a better understanding and what I needed to do as far as product knowledge, what I needed to look for in certain products. And we went through a lot of products. She went out and got a ton of products, but things to help make her kit stronger, things to help make her presentation as an artist much stronger and to build up her confidence level. She felt so much better after my class, and that made a huge difference. And that's the problem with a lot of students up there right now. They have a lot of information, either a lot of information or a lot of information that's missing, and they need it tied together. I also found that I just did, I took like two of my students, I had an opportunity to do makeovers on WPLG Channel 10 here in Miami, and I went in and I took two of my students, one as a model and one to assist me. And it was a great opportunity for them to see the inside of a TV station. They'd never seen it. Mm-hmm. They just see the news, and they just had never seen the whole operation. And they got a chance to really see all of that happen from beginning to end. And they were blown away by that, just to have that opportunity. So I think, you know, we need to get more apprenticeships going. And a lot of us who have been in the industry a long time need to pull on some of these students who have never been on a set, just, you know, even for an hour, to just kind of see what it's like to be on a set, to get an idea of what it's like to be in this industry. And I mean, like, you know, we, you know, based off of attrition alone, we're going to be the ones moving out and younger ones are coming in. So we have to make sure that they understand what's going on in the industry and how they can best function and, you know, learn from people like us.
Yeah, because the one thing they don't know is they don't know set etiquette. They don't understand the hierarchy on a film set. They come on those sets acting like they know what they're doing, and they have no knowledge whatsoever.
Right. Also, Sarah, I think I can say that when some of those people, you know, get hired on set, whether it's a movie or whatever,
mm-hmm.
those people who are hiring them are not teaching them set etiquette.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
I mean, I wouldn't expect someone with no experience to come on set and understand and know set etiquette, but we have to teach them that as well.
And that's a very good point. One of the things that when they come on, we have to make sure we're all on the same page, and
exactly.
by really enlightening them and letting them know this is how I function, this is how I operate, and this is a good way for you to see how it's going to go, and this is what I expect of you, et cetera, et cetera.
Did you see the union newsletter this month?
Uh-huh.
There was a whole letter about the set etiquette and working in a trailer.
Is it 706 or 798?
798, sorry.
798, yeah. See, that's what I was, yeah. But if you can forward me a copy of that, I would love that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah, I have it on email, I think. Do you have it on email, Sarah?
You know what? Something I've now been getting it by paper, and I haven't been getting the emails for a long time. I don't know what happened, so I have to call them up anyway to get that straight.
Are you referring to the situation of like how to treat like someone that's working with you? Is that what you were talking about?
It was all of it. They covered that, how to treat your talent, how to treat the people in the trailer working with you. How and not being late, showing up on time, not using sharing personal business. I mean, it was a pretty interesting letter.
I would love a copy of that because those are some of the things that I teach in my classes. You know,
yeah.
Because the students they need to understand that and they need to know that. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil.
You know what it's become? It's become like the salon atmosphere. In a trailer. I'm just saying it like it is because we've all been in hair salons where it's like gab, 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 and, you know, and I heard she did this, and oh, girl, I'm telling you, she did that, and that I'm seeing a lot more of that coming into the makeup and hair trailers than it used to be.
Well,
one of the things that has happened, the salon has moved into the industry.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah.
So you are going to get a lot of that behavior into the whole star request thing has become so overplayed, and you've got a lot of people who didn't necessarily go through the same training that
no.
we went through who have now
no.
making huge money because they came in as a star request. But they don't necessarily know or understand the protocol of how a film set works,
yeah.
even in comparison to a print set and stuff, you know, or to a salon. They've not had that kind of training. They come in because they've been brought in to work with that individual person.
Yeah.
It's changed tremendously.
Yeah, it has.
Now, the situation that they're speaking of in that union newsletter, it's funny because I was actually on that job. And
really?
Really? It's kind of not quite right the way it was told to the union. because the person who did all the complaining and it's kind of hard to talk about because I'm trying, definitely don't want to give away names and really tell what the situation was about. But the person who did the complaining to the union was really the person who was in the wrong, but she doesn't see it that way. She was looking at first of all, she complained about the department head being late, and she went on to say, she went on to complain and say that the department head, the reason she was late was because she was hanging out in bars late at night drinking, but whether the department head was doing that or not, that's not her business, and that's not her business to tell.
No.
She doesn't know why the department head was late.
Oh.
But that's the type of stuff that she was doing the entire show. She tried to paint the picture before the department head arrived in town as if this girl was prejudiced and a whole bunch of other stuff. That
sounds like she wanted her job.
Yeah, but she's not qualified.
I understand that, but I've come up against that too. It's like I can count on my hand with people I've worked with who I could really trust. That when I left set to go work in the trailer, they were actually going to cover my butt and not talk about me.
Well, but that's the thing. She wasn't even qualified to do the job that she was hired to do. The department head gave her a chance based on another makeup artist that they both knew.
Right. Well, same situation that we've seen happen more and more and more, where they're not qualified. But remember I said earlier, they think they're qualified.
She thinks she's qualified, but she doesn't like to do beauty makeup, so I'm not understanding that. But it was
that's crazy.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Well, look, y'all, hold your thought for 1 second. I want to bring in a caller from the 678 area code, and then I have Suzanne Patterson on the line, who I'm going to bring in after that. Hello.
Hello.
How are you? Who's this?
Can you guys hear me? Hey, this is Tanisha.
Oh, hi, Tanisha.
How are you, ladies? I didn't know you were going to bring me in now. I didn't want to interrupt.
Oh, no, go ahead. I mean, say what you have to say.
Well, actually, I was going all the way back to the YouTube conversation. Then I just had something I was going to share about the set etiquette.
Okay.
But I don't know where to start now because I feel like I just interrupted in the middle of a whole new topic.
No, please do.
I'll start with set etiquette, and I'll say that, one, congratulations on me listening to an entire year of Beauty Talk. And
yay.
I just want to thank you ladies for all the information that I learned. I can't even make a list of how much stuff that I learned and I apply to my business every day just from listening to Beauty Talk for the whole year. So hoorah for y'all, and thank you.
Thank you.
Also, I was going to say about set etiquette. And I'm not sure. I can never tell Denise and Janice apart. I never have any clue which one of you guys are talking. So
don't even try
thing.
To figure it out.
That's a good thing.
Okay, so, and I just wanted to tell Denise a personal thank you for a time that we were on a set. I'm going to call myself inexperienced on a movie set. The first time I was with Denise was actually my first time on a movie set. And I did something impeccably stupid, and she sent me a very nice, polite text message as the senior key makeup artist, letting me know that I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And I was just so extremely thankful, even though I was embarrassed, and I thought my stomach was going to fall out my body because I felt so stupid. But I was so extremely grateful for that. I just wanted to tell her that, you know, in front of everybody, and just, you know, for other senior makeup artists that are listening, you know, for you guys to know that as, you know, an inexperienced makeup artist, sometimes you don't even know what it is you're supposed to be doing. You're still looking for guidance from other people. And I was just very thankful for her reaching out to do that instead of, you know, she could have just sat from her chair and gave me the side eye the whole time and be like, why'd she do that? And just went to the director and been like, rah, 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 don't ever hire her again. And, you know, instead of her doing that, she actually, you know, let me know. Because I was like, hey, I didn't know that was tacky. I'll never do it again. And that went down in my book of stuff that I'll never do again in life. So.
Well, you're welcome.
Okay. And, oh, and just back to the whole YouTube conversation. I don't have any formal makeup training, And I'll say that, you know, from the standpoint of a makeup artist with no training, and I just kind of wing it from everything I can learn on the internet. There are a lot of people out here now who want to call themselves a makeup artist that go to the YouTubers looking for information. But I think there's a difference in somebody's, I think everybody has a natural eye for what looks good and what doesn't. The problem is a lot of people think stuff looks good according to them, but it actually looks terrible. And they want to call themselves a makeup artist, even if they're not the person doing the YouTube videos. You're at home, you want to be a makeup artist, you go to YouTube, and you're looking at so-and-so and so-and-so. I won't say a name. But you're looking at her, she has 60 million views on her videos, so you feel like she's the best. And you're looking at it, and you feel like whatever she did looks awesome, and it looks like garbage. But yet now you take this technique, and you apply it to your repertoire as a makeup artist, and now you're going out and you're doing the same thing that the YouTuber did, even though it probably looks like crap. But in theory, you're only going to get jobs on the level of the quality of that makeup. Because at the end of the day, you want to be a red carpet makeup artist, but you're out here doing, you know, excuse me, the strip club makeup. Because that is what you were looking at. On YouTube.
Strip club makeup, because they don't look like that in the strip clubs either. Sorry.
Okay.
So, yeah, some of the strippers look way better. The strippers
yeah,
look
really. They,
the strip club makeup is actually very pretty
makeup.
They do it. Strip clubs. Yeah, because I have a friend who does strip club makeup, and I got to tell you, it's very clean, very pretty. It's nothing like the stuff I see on YouTube with the gazillion colors. Nothing like that.
Okay. Well, I ain't been in a strip club. I just bump into strippers in the street, and I'm like, God, your makeup looks terrible. But
so, we get your point.
I feel like at the end of the day, the makeup artists who call themselves makeup artists that don't want to take formal training from actual makeup artists.
That have been working in the industry.
Right. They're always going to stick out and not get to the level of a real makeup artist, to me. Because I see other makeup artists, you know, in Atlanta with 6 million, you know, people following them on Twitter. They have a PR person, all this, that, and the third. But the quality of makeup they do is not that good. And they're not getting A-list Hollywood clients. So it really doesn't make me feel, you know, any less of a makeup artist because they're getting, you know, work. Because they're getting work on the level of their craft. So,
let me ask you, Tanisha. You said that you have no formal makeup training.
Right.
Okay, you've been listening to Beauty Talk for the whole entire year. You've heard us talk about stuff like this before. You've heard us talk about topics from A to Z.
Mm-hmm.
You heard Suzanne and Sarah come on and talk about HD makeup and HD lighting. You heard Marietta come on and talk about different topics. You have no formal training. What are you going to do going forward?
To get the information that you need. I continue to just, you know, even though I use the internet somewhat to get all the information, I make sure I follow people who are the best of the best of the best. So every little tweet somebody says, you know, I pay attention. I'm always researching stuff, but I'm only researching the people who are, in my opinion, at the top tier of their craft. But I would take formal training. I just don't feel like there's really anything in Atlanta to offer, and I just don't have, you know, I got two kids and stuff, so I can't just hop up and go take a 8-week course or whatever in L.A. or whatnot. And the makeup artists that I know of that are here that be teaching classes don't do makeup on a level of where I feel like I value your class. Because there's so many people out here teaching classes.
Well, you're right. And again, you've been listening to what we've been saying all year long, and you have Marietta, you have Sarah, you have these people, like Marietta just said, that she does classes. You know, what do you call it, Marietta? Not Skype, but very similar, I believe.
Doing
like webinars?
Live online classes.
live online classes, right. Jennifer, both Jennifer James and myself both do one-on-one classes on Skype. Sarah does classes. You know, and like I said, I know that you're not going to jump up and go travel somewhere, you know, because you have two kids and you don't, you know, you can't be away from home for weeks and weeks at a time. But my thing is that we're putting this information out where you can take a class, sit in your pajamas, and take a class.
Now, that I did hear a couple of you guys say that. It's just I really like to do stuff hands-on. Because I did think that was interesting. I was like, okay, a Skype class. But it's like I really want to really see the texture, see and feel the colors to be exact, because those are the key things that I'm looking for, is one, being able to match undertones perfectly to the T. And the things that I'm looking for on what I feel like would be a more advanced level, I really just want to see it with my own eye. Like, those are the things I feel like I can't get from the internet. And if anything, what I'm more interested in is, like, shadowing or interning with another makeup artist on set while they're actually working. So there's be a variation of different. Now, with the Skype classes, is it going to be, like, a model present or?
That's the thing. They, you know, depending on how each person does their classes, but I would have a model present where you can actually see. My thing is I understand what kind of classes you're looking for, but if you can't get those classes, is what I'm saying, what are you going to do to gain the knowledge that you need? Because if you go and shadow someone on set, when someone gets to set, you know, we spoke earlier, a few minutes ago, about the makeup artist that brings someone on set has to train these people, but no one has time all day on set telling you what you need to know. You need to come to set with a little bit of information already known.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be a specific kind of set to make that work.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, where I've done it where it's been series and it's been like maybe a week of background work, bring somebody in so that once I've gotten my main talent done, I can go supervise them with background and start them off there, where it's a lot of background to do so they can gain speed and they can, you know, see a lot more different skin types. Because I really just feel like that's a good place to start if you're training somebody. Putting them in the trailer right away, there's too much we have to do in the trailer to stop and talk while we're getting actors ready because they need to focus. But putting them in a situation where they're doing background, you can do that. But here's the other thing. You've got two kids. If you're going to be on a set, you can't just come in for a couple hours. You're going to have to be there for 14, 16 hours like the rest of us in order to learn. So there's going to come a point, because I was a single mom going to the industry.
For the whole day. Like, you know, I can make that work. It's just, and I can't go out to L.A. and then not come back.
Oh, no. I completely understand that. But there are a few, and you'll just have to pick and choose, because I had to do the same thing because I raised my two alone for 10 years, my kids, that I would pick a weekend to go to a seminar, a weekend seminar where, you know, and I couldn't do it all the time, but pick and choose to those things that I really wanted to focus on and go to those things. Those are some things that, you know, we have to make when we're single parents, those kinds of sacrifices every once in a while, but you can't do it all the time because your babies need you, you know. But find those things that are within, you know, a 4 to 6 hour drive that you might be able to do that, and find somebody that may live close by that, you know, go, hey, can you put me up for the weekend while I take this class? So that it can, one, help you out financially, but two, you're still going to get that knowledge you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find that way to make it work.
Good point, Sarah.
I'm sorry?
No, I said those are very, very valid points, making that sacrifice for a weekend to try to get those classes in during the weekend. That's the only way you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes a crash course, you know, like it's like a lot crammed in 2 days. However, if you take notes, you know, I stress with everybody, if you come and take my class, you bring a notebook, and if you don't have one, I always provide notebooks. I want you to write down what I say. You can't just go just stand there and just listen.
because you're not going to remember everything.
That's right.
You know, and I try to give as many hands out of, you know, of bullet points of things that I'm teaching so that they can go back and look at that and make notes as well. But you can take that knowledge, then you can go home and practice on your kids. I used to do that a lot on my poor kids, and of course almost got in trouble with my daughter left the house with all this bruise makeup on and somebody thought I beat her. But, you know, that was a fun afternoon. But those are things that you can do, you know, that you go to those weekend things, pack that knowledge in on somebody that really knows what they're doing, then bring it home and practice on friends, practice on your kids. That way, when the kids get bigger, and you're not, that they're a little bit more independent, then you've built that knowledge base that you can go out there and work. That's my suggestion and some of the things that I did, you know, so that I could work as a single mother. Because it wasn't easy. I'm not going to sugarcoat that at all, and there were some things I missed. You know, there was a period there that all I ever saw were the kids asleep, you know, when I got up in the morning and when I came home at night. But in the long run, you know, I was able to provide for my family and do what I love to do. I'm done.
Okay. So this is what I have. I have a couple of calls coming in. I see you, Sharon Teen, and I'm going to get to you in 1 second. But I have another call coming in from L.A. I'm going to bring that call in. And Suzanne, I'm going to bring you in now, and we'll get to what you have to share after I bring the other two callers. And so I have you on the line now, Suzanne, and I'm going to get to this caller from the 323 area code. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is J.K. Hunter. How are you?
Hi, J.K. Hunter.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
You know, well, my area code is 323. Did you have something you wanted to share with us?
No, I was just calling in because you were telling me you wanted me to call in. Plus, I just was listening.
Yeah, but
well,
you had,
knowing me, you know me, I always have opinions.
Yes, you do. Hold that opinion, please, for 1 second. You had your hand up, so I thought you wanted to talk. But I'm going to bring in Sharon Tina really quick. Hi, Sharon Tina.
Hi, how are you? Hi, everyone.
I'm great. How are you?
Hello. Good. I just had a quick question because I know potential makeup artists always ask, like, how could they can prepare themselves to get signed by an agency. But I wanted to know, as a makeup artist, what do you look for when you're trying to decide on an agency?
What do you look for when you want to sign with an agency?
Yeah.
Right. What do we look for personally?
Yeah, personally.
Oh, I don't want to sign with an agency.
I've never been with an agency.
Nor have I. This is J.K.
Now, remember, I said, when you get your agency, remember, I said I want to be the first.
Who's starting one?
Sharon Tina's starting one.
Okay.
I would think, Sharon Tina, that makeup artists looking for an agent would definitely want someone who we felt that we could trust and who could represent us well, who could get us work, someone who can get us work.
Yeah.
Who could get us work. Okay. And I know part of that is on us. You know, I know part of that is on ourselves. I mean, we have to, I would think you would have to have a resume and a book that says, I can do the job, but you would want somebody who you thought, you know, was well-respected and people would go to them looking for talent. I mean, because there's a lot of agents out there.
I didn't know that there was a difference between a union and an agency. That's why I thought, you know, it was the same thing.
Oh, that's a big difference between a union and an agency because unions don't get you jobs.
No, all unions do is negotiate contracts. That's their thing and to protect, quote-unquote, protect the makeup artist when they're doing contract negotiations, that they have a base to start from. You can always negotiate higher, but they give you a base so that you're not underpaid for what you do.
Oh, all right, okay. All right, well, that was the only question.
Then they make sure you get paid as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. And then they set up annuities and pension plans and those kinds of things that you will not get from an agency. All the agency is there for is to help find you work and take a percentage of the cut.
Oh.
And
okay, got it.
Marietta and Lalette.
No, they don't. It's not just. I mean, they help you with your billing and you know,
well,
and help
too,
you get.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, they do. They, I mean, they pretty much take care of all that for you.
So the agency the agency is good cop, bad cop, because you can go in smelling as a rose. You don't have to have the attitude with your clients. I can have the attitude with your clients, but
right.
you don't have
right.
to have that. You go in and do your job and. With a smile on your face, I'm the one
exactly.
that has to be
strong.
And that's mm-hmm. the reason why I said I would think we would want someone that represented us well and that we could trust
mm-hmm.
so that way we could go and focus on being the makeup artist
exactly.
on the job and let somebody
right.
else handle the other issues.
And let somebody else handle the dirty work, because sometimes it is dirty work. Sometimes
yes.
it is a deal breaker. Sometimes you mm-hmm. want to say, ask you, what do you think? I've been doing this for a long time. Oh, no. There's absolutely no way I'm going to come in and do the job for that. Oh, no. Let's talk about this a little bit more. So you don't want to go in and do that, because then you go in and right away it's bad blood with the client. You want to go in squeaky clean.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do. It's like, you know, I'm the one that's DMF.
Okay.
You know, because you want to go in and do your work and do it professionally. And sometimes that's a conflict.
And see, Marietta has the ability to go in, and if the union sets a base of $42 an hour, Marietta can go in, you know what, that's the union base, but my person's worth $48 an hour.
No, $58 an hour.
Well, you know what I mean.
Hour.
I was just giving an example.
I was going to say 42 is below the union minimum anyway, Sarah. So.
Well, yeah, I know. What is it, 43 now for background? To do?
No, it's higher than that.
Yeah, you know.
No,
so,
not much.
So
well, yeah, unless it's a Southeastern contract. Have you seen that one?
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that one. But
I got stuck with that one with Dawson's Creek, so.
Yeah, you just have to find the producers who know you well and who think you're worth more than that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it depends on if you're doing a film. It depends on if you're doing a TV. It depends on if you're doing
mm-hmm.
HBO West Coast, HBO East
mm-hmm.
Coast. It depends on what you're doing. It really does. If you're doing
yeah.
NBC mm-hmm. contract, CBS short contract, I mean, it just varies. Cause if you're doing a webisode, it all just varies so much now. It's like, I mean,
right.
It comes down to the producer's job is to save as much money as he can. Your job
put
is
put more in his pocket
than you can. Bottom line.
Yep.
What was that, Marianne? I didn't hear what you said. Our job is what?
I said our job is to try to get as much as we can. Their job is to save
oh, wow.
and not. Their job, the producer's job is to save as much as they can. Your job as the artist is try to squeeze as much as you can out of them.
Right.
The bottom
right.
line, and you know, the one who speaks first loses. So,
well, Tarantino, there you go. I hope you
well,
know the difference
you.
Between an agent and the union.
I sure do.
Your job is the audience.
Yeah, but
I mean, let me answer this one real well for you. Hold on.
Okay. What's the question? About me having somebody to negotiate.
Oh, the negotiator is very important, and Marietta is one of the best. So, as far as the good guy, good cop, bad cop, I prefer her.
That's
sure.
back.
Right.
I'm calling Marietta next time I got a dispute.
Yeah,
right.
You know, your reputation. No, and not so much as being a hard nose as to understanding. The union, the rules of the game. It's the rules
mm-hmm.
of the game
right. Right.
to play. If you have a person that goes in understanding it, that's half the battle. Because once they understand
right.
that person can't be played with, they don't try to play you. They will get you
right.
what you need and what you want. And,
right.
and you know, that's all it is to it. If you find someone who doesn't have the knowledge, and sometimes we, as makeup artists, we're artsy. We go in for the art of it, We don't really have all that knowledge with the paperwork and such. Marietta, is that to understand the paperwork and to know what union rules to follow and how they're going to screw you over. So it's very important to have an agent, even if on a little end. If you start out with one, you go bigger.
Right, right. Because most makeup artists aren't, especially if you're not business-minded, you're not going to take the time to even read some of those contracts.
No, and a lot of us don't. And they know that we don't.
Exactly, exactly.
They know that we don't, and that's how, you know, because I had an incident once, and that producer did not read that deal memo that I sent to her. Yep, and then she did not read the deal memo that I sent to her, and a situation came up. And I said to her, I called, Lalette called me, and I called her up, and I said, if you go down to paragraph 2, line 3, you're going to see where it says, and you signed off on it. She said, oh, my God. And she had to turn around and acknowledge that. She couldn't even argue because she had signed off. And see, and you got to get that deal memo back.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And when she realized, she was like, oh, my God. So she had to honor it. So,
wow.
So,
yeah, so they're
a lot
just
of them,
signing and not reading.
Yeah. She did not read it, and she, you know, and that's one of the things. It's like I put everything in there. I put everything in that deal memo because I've learned over the years to cover yourself. To cover yourself, and then you have to get it signed and sent back to you. It's the same thing with when you deal with these record companies. When you deal with a record company, the moment that they issue you a PO, it is legitimate. If you don't have a PO, it's iffy. But the moment they issue you a PO for that job, that holds up in court. You got to get a PO for your invoice every time.
Right.
It's a huge thing. And a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah, and if you don't have that, it can take you forever to get paid.
Oh, yeah.
I had a huge dispute with...
like, well, I said, how about never? That's one of the big things, you know, because I'm telling you, it's like, because in the system, that's what you are, a PO. You know, that's what you are when you're in the system. You are a PO. And that's how they reference. The other young lady was saying that she was not able to get classes, but I tell you, there's to this industry that's more than just the makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the biggest parts that's missing. There's so much to the industry that is more than makeup, you know, and that's one of the things that they're missing when they, you know, it's fine to look at all these YouTube videos and stuff, but I tell you, the biggest thing, you could be the most mediocre of artists, but you got to understand how the industry works.
Right.
Yep.
You know,
right.
I mean, I'm a firm believer. It's like, you know, I don't have to be the best artist out there. I just need to know how to get paid.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's the bottom line.
You know?
Who's there? Yes. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm just listening.
What do you think about all of this stuff you've been listening to?
Well, at first, it sounds like I missed the really good first part here because I heard the word YouTube and Sarah. Hi, Sarah. And Marietta, who I had a long chat with a couple of weeks ago.
Now, did you hear that, Lalette? Did you hear that? So you know you have to check it out now.
I'm going to go back and listen to it, but Sarah and I had a long conversation about YouTube makeup artists, so I will be interested to go back and listen to what I missed.
It was
I did,
so close to our conversation, Suzanne. It was very close to our conversations we've had.
Oh my. Yeah, it's the internet has definitely changed the landscape of makeup artistry, definitely, most definitely. Well, do we have time for my technology technique update since it's 10 o'clock? Is it okay?
Sure.
Oh, okay. All right. I wasn't sure. All right, ladies. So remember the last time how we discussed the fact, if you go back to that we talked about the fact that more and more cinematographers are adding HD to their skill set arsenal and even reschooling themselves in lighting. Well, get ready for the 5K resolution camera. It is coming out, and we thought 4K was obnoxious. Peter Jackson, who shot The Lord of the Rings, will be shooting his upcoming feature, The Hobbit, in 3D next year using Red's brand-new redesigned digital cinema format camera called the Epic. The Epic is a 5K resolution camera that can shoot up to 20 frames per second. So taking everything that they learned from building the Red camera over the years, they started from total scratch with all of their technology to build this particular camera for cinema. And this one's even smaller and lighter than the traditional Red, but it has a magnitude of features unlike any other digital camera on the market today. It's definitely going to be a serious contender against the other brands for video. Its smaller size and weight makes it really perfect for mounting on a two-camera 3D rig. The downside that Red still really struggles with is that, you know, there's a lot of computer breakdown still. The camera still runs a little bit hot. I was on a three-day shoot with a Red a couple of weeks ago, and we had some issues, you know, and we even had to have a swap out. So it's not, you know, trustworthy like your Panasonics and your Sonys, you know, that, you know, from end to end just, you know, are perfectly operating. But still, the features that this Red camera offers is, well, I guess in the sense, how much more resolution do you really need? I mean, this is just getting over the top. So anyway, Jackson's Hobbit
What are they going to do, Suzanne? I mean, when it comes to our...
Hey, listen, I just report it. I don't make it. I'm serious. But you know what? I will tell you that HD configuration is going to get bigger in the future. We're going to be bigger than 1080. We're going to outgrow 1080. And it's... I tell you what, it's just way over anything that speaks to my sensibilities. But you know what do you do? This is, you know, everybody's on a roll now. It's everything's all HD and 3D. So personally, I think 3D is not going to end up being as popular as everybody thinks it is. Everybody wants to shoot everything in 3D, but I just don't.
I
think passing fancy. But anyway, so Jackson's Hobbit will be the first production to use the Epic, and they're going to need at least 30 of these cameras for this shoot because it is in 3D. So, I mean, they're going to have, you know, two to a rig. What's amazing to me, and I talked about this, I think, a few weeks ago, is that this is another example of how Red loves to talk things up before they actually release the product, because this camera is not even out on the market. They're already talking, Jackson's already talking about using it. It's not even out on the market for sale. He is going to get the first one to shoot this film with. He has a personal long history with Red, and he actually helped them develop the camera. He was one of the original cinematographers that tested the early type of the Red one, even before it went into production. He has a lot of weight with him because he really feels that the image capture with the Red has a much more filmic look to it than most other digital camera. And of course, he loves the fact that it's a tool that's not only for principal photography, but it is a very important posting tool, especially with its incredible resolution capabilities. So the owner of Red, Jim Jannard, and his crew went out to New Zealand earlier this year with the Epic development team, and Jackson actually did some test shots with all of its features firsthand. He loves the fact that it doesn't require video assists like film cameras do. That's the one thing. You know, there's film cameras always have to have video assists to them. So it makes it even more suitable, as many competing as many competing digital systems require them to be cabled to video assist machines. So that's the advantage. And you know, it really is going to be, like I said before, the studios are going to make a budgetary requirement that film is just going to be a transfer, because the amount of money that is saved doing a video transfer to film is pretty significant.
Well, there goes our job.
No.
No, it doesn't. It just means we got to get better.
It's just the way that the industry is. I mean, and the interesting thing about this is that the consumer aspect, and really a lot of small network studios and everything, really aren't catching up to all this technology. There is so much more technology that is waiting in the wings that they just really can't roll out yet, because the consumer, I mean, the assimilation into the culture, the industry, just isn't going fast enough. I can't even imagine what's coming out. But I know that 1080 is definitely going to go away. There are going to be bigger standardized formats. I think that governing board, which is STMPE, is going to approve a larger format. I think we're going to see that within the next 5 to 10 years. So there you go.
I just bought a Blu-ray, Suzanne.
You know, Blu-ray, I think, is going to go away. It's a passing fancy too. So, you know what?
It was cheap. It was only $110. So.
Well, it's good for right now. I agree. We just bought one 6 months ago too. So so that's that part. So my tip actually comes from a shoot that I was on last week. I had a woman talent, a well-known political figure up here in D.C. on a shoot. She came in wearing a warm base, solid black outfit, and was going to be shot against green screen. So, you know, when I have these politicals, I mean, I literally have, you know, 3 to 5 minutes, because they are on a time crunch. They come in with all of their people and, you know, talk, and you really have to, this is where you have to really pull on your bag of tricks. She had full makeup on, which, given the extreme short amount of time that I always have on these interviews, I can only do color and texture correction and refresh on any other color elements, because they often always come in with full makeup on. Okay, so this is a classic situation of why I do not like mineral makeup for HD. She was wearing mineral makeup. And I can't tell you how this really speaks to the downside of mineral makeup in HD, especially against green screen. Two strikes against her right there. This brand had both mica and silica in it, and you can kind of tell.
I was going to ask you if it had mica.
You can tell the difference between mica and silica, because one's a little more holographic than the other. But she had this in her face powder. And I'm telling you, under my light, she sparkled like a lit-up Christmas tree.
Wow.
It was, I mean, you know, I stood there. This is how bad it was. On her black suit, it had actually migrated off of her face and onto her outfit. It was all over her shoulders and all over the front part of her jacket, and
wow.
You would not have hadn't stuck her. And of course, I had my set light with me, and you know, with my color correction filter and the whole deal. And I'm going, okay, this is why I absolutely hate this stuff. This actually added about 10 minutes to. We had to reset lighting. I had to get this stuff off her face, and you don't want to know how I got it off her face.
You can tell us later. You can tell us later, because I really want to hear the whole story.
No, I'm not afraid. I mean, I mean, you're going to laugh when you hear it, but you know what? I just took out. The only thing you can do is take it off the high points of the face. So,
yep.
I concentrated on the chin, the cheeks, and the forehead, and the nose. That was the only place I really worried. The rest of it, I put it as much undercover as I possibly could. But I took out the Scotch tape, ladies. And boom, boom, boom. Yes, I did. You better believe it. I lift those suckers off. I mean, she was about 10 minutes in makeup as a result of this. So, yes, the Scotch tape came out. And, yes, we used on her outfit, we used gaffer tape.
God.
Just rolled the gaffer tape because not even a clothes lint thing is going to take this stuff off. So, you know what? It just goes to show that, this is an unexpected time pressure. You never know what's going to land in your chair. And in this business, you have got to be prepared for the unexpected at every single turn. And you got to think on your feet and out of your kit. You do
yep.
the best you can with the tools you have and the time frame, and hopefully your kid is resourceful enough to solve these unforeseen problems. So after getting that stuff off, I was working with the lighting guys, and this is where Miss Sarah's class comes in, and, of course, HDMU, I'm telling you, this is where your lighting knowledge really, really helps because I had them reposition the softbox lighting from the angle of the spill on her clothing. That had to completely change because, you know, this woman was only giving us, like, 15 minutes. And, she had 30 minutes. She had to get back to the... to the Capitol for a vote. So, we had 30 minutes, and 10 extra minutes of that was taken up just getting this stuff off of her. So we relighting her so that we didn't get all of it off. We didn't get all of it, but we got enough of it off that we could control it. But we had to reposition the light. So I had them reposition the softbox from a different angle of spill on her clothing. I had them change the direction of the bounce card that was keying off the softbox, and then we had to halo down on the hair and the shoulder light, and that took about, an extra 3 or 4 minutes. So, they didn't get all their interview time in simply because she just walked in with stuff on her face, and it was all over clothing. So,
because that mica also, because it's iridescent with the green, picks up some of the green screen stuff, and that shows up on their... Yeah,
it's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. Now, which leads me to, that's leading into the makeup tip. Do you know how to test your powder for how much mica and silica is? And that is, you're going to have to sift it. You're going to have to sift it against a black fabric or a black piece of construction paper. And what you do is you just take a bunch of it and you rub it on there and you rub it on and you rub it on until that black cloth or that black construction paper absorbs the powder, and what's left is going to be whatever mica silica is in your powder, and you will be able to see it. Put it under a light. So go test your powders, ladies.
Wow. Mica, bad.
Bad mica.
Bad
silica. Bad. I'd like everybody to go take your Makeup Forever HD Pro powders or whatever it is and put those again.
Throw it away.
Huh?
Throw it away.
No, I mean, you'll be able to see. You'll see how that all that stuff is just pure micronized mica. That's what that is.
Did you just say the Makeup Forever HD powder?
I sure did.
I know you did. Now, what powder do you like?
I use my Natural Born Cosmetics, and I use Graftovium. That's all that's in my kit. That's all. That's
well,
all that
see,
I use.
I have a little bit of toddle
ladies,
in mind
I use
with
stuff,
the Graftovium.
Listen, I have to work very, very, very fast. Very fast. And I'm going to have stuff in my kit that is turnkey. Turnkey. No more mixing and matching. I mean, the only thing that I want to do is be able to determine temperature and value in the skin, and the rest is history. Because and Sarah has to work unbelievably fast. She's got her stuff down to a science. My kit is a little teeny tiny little 13x9x7 thing. I don't carry these big giant kits. It's, if it doesn't fit in that little thing, it's not going to set with me. I can just hand carry it on because I only work in HD. I don't work in any live stuff. I work in recorded where Sarah works in live. But you know,
still,
we have a little more leeway in recorded. But I'll tell you what, I only use stuff that is turnkey for me. And having been in this for nearly 30 years,
then.
You know, you just use what gets the job done and what gets it done beautifully for this thing. And look at the fact that we are exploding with these. HD is just running away.
Suzanne, what do you use for darker skin tones?
For darker skin tones, I use the Graftobian. Now, here's another tip that I had to. This was a little thing that, and I thought, oh, this is something that I need to share with you guys. This is where grayscale, this is a little lesson in the grayscale here for you, you know, light to dark.
Yep.
A lot of times when I'm using powders, you know, I will, to need to lighten them, then you're going to mix them with a lighter powder or scatter the strength of it with a translucent powder to lighten it up. Well, I had a gentleman in my shoot 3 weeks ago that he was literally pitch dark black. He really, I mean, he was Aborigine black. Very, 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 very dark. Beautiful, beautiful skin. Just beautiful. It was super. It was a 10 on grayscale. A 10, a solid 10, and then some. So here's the thing is that I took.
Was he blue black or red black?
Was he
mahogany?
You know what? When it gets to be that dark, it tends to get to be in the neutral because there's a little bit of both.
No. Was he neutral? He wasn't red black or blue black.
You know, he had equal amounts of red and blue in him, so he was definitely neutral.
I've only had one other person like that in my career too. Like you're describing, Suzanne.
Right. Well, here is what I did. I keep black pigment, loose black pigment in my kit. And what I do is I'll take that and I will sprinkle some of that as a base into the powder puff, and I rub that in very, very, very thoroughly. And then I'll go in and I'll take two different colors of the darkest brown, you know, the darkest neutral brown that I have, and I think it's Nightfall, and I can't remember what the other name of it is in Graftobian. And then I rub that over the top of these, and I work that in so that I don't have a really, really solid 100% 10 grayscale black on there, but I've got three different tonalities in that. And this, with this gentleman, all I did was I did a two-punch of I put a – trying to think which – because unfortunately, shine-free solution. And then I put on top of shine-free solution, I put something – I have to remember the name of that, but I did a two-punch of anti-shine on him. So
two different brands of anti-shine?
It was Natural Born Cosmetics shine-free solution because that is the only one that doesn't leave an ashy halo on really super dark skin.
Then I
went in with this puff and I rolled this all over his face. That's all I did. I did not use any base on him. And he was just, he was his perfect skin tone, but I was only concerned about taking down a lot of the shine. I wasn't concerned about doing a lot of correcting or anything because this was a corporate guy that I was working with, and I'm telling you, this is a method that I used just for corporate. I only had 5 minutes with this guy. That's all I had. I had left just barely 5 minutes with him. But with this kind of dark skin, I can't tell you how well this worked wonderfully for him because it did not it did not darken his face. It helped to make the anti-shine work seamlessly and organically on his skin.
And not look ashy.
Pardon me?
And not look ashy.
No, he did not look ashy. No, no. Cool. And that's the thing. You know, you've got to work with the skin, but you can't add a lot of makeup to that. And I only have 5 minutes. So, you know, for my corporate guys, this is what I do. But this is about the third or fourth person I think I've had this last year. It's amazing. But this worked really, really beautifully. But I put a background of that black pigment into that powder puff. And then I went in and picked up two different color browns, you know, deep dark, very, very dark brown colors in there. And just gently rolled that all over the anti-shine, and he looked flawless on camera.
I use Lancome's anti-shine, and I find that it doesn't go ashy on any skin tone.
Yeah, but I don't think they sell that anymore, but
the Pure Focus, the Pure Focus powder, it doesn't go ashy on any skin tone.
Yeah, it doesn't. But
well,
there's another one that I discovered as well called OC8. And that's another one that doesn't go ashy.
Yeah, the Lancome zone, I know. It doesn't go ashy at all. It works great, the powder gel.
I have tried so many of them, and for Shine Free Solution is the only thing that I have found that really, really works really well, because it doesn't have a lot of those, you know, it's not gel-based, and that's gel-based, all gel-based products go ash. As far as I'm concerned, you know, even the super matte anti-shine that's so popular, that stuff just dries down ashy. And it's
I disagree with you there, Suzanne.
Are you talking about Makeup International's anti-shine?
The tea powder gel.
Is it
nicely.
I think it's called Face to Face.
I use Makeup International. And I've had good success with that one, but face
well,
to face,
me,
I know what you're
it doesn't
about.
It breaks apart.
Can
and
ashy,
huh?
Face to face can go ashy.
Yeah, it does. Even their dark colors do. I've used the dark color on the dark skin tones. I've had to stipple over that because
It leaves a residue.
Yep, it leaves a residue. Now, the Mayron works better. It's a gel, but it works better than face-to-face. I think it works.
I don't even use any of those. I go with the Lancome's powder gel, Pure Focus, the Pure Focus, and it works beautifully. Monistat works great, too.
Well, I think it's whatever anybody, you know, uses and they like, and it's all good. As far as I'm concerned, it's all good.
Monistat gel works great, too.
Say again?
Which one?
The Monistat Shea Fin Gel.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I remember you saying that before.
Five.
I'm going to take a call from the 202 area code, and then there's one from the 912 area code. So I want to get them to in. Hello?
Hi.
This is
Rochelle, Creatively Yours on Twitter.
Hi, Rochelle.
How are you? I'm great. How are you? Real quick, kind of backtracking a little bit, how do you all feel about licensing and regulations? Do you feel as if makeup artists should all be licensed and certified? I know that a lot of estheticians have to be.
I think it would be helpful if makeup artists nowadays were licensed estheticians.
Okay.
I have something to say on that.
Lala and I agree with you. We need the licensed skincare people because makeup, I'm telling you, definitely needed.
Yeah, we're totally missing out on a lot, and I think makeup artists just don't get the whole picture, and I think they have to have that now. They just have to.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes your actor has herpes zoster, looks like Mount Vesuvius.
Yes.
I mean, you need to know what that is. You need to be able to recognize certain
that or impetigo, which is even more contagious than the herpes.
Which one?
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
impetigo.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a talent on one of the series I did who had impetigo. It looks mm-hmm. like herpes. It's a blister. But it is so contagious that I used nothing but Q-tips on this talent, and between each piece, threw the Q-tips away. Everything was mixed on a palette that I also threw away because it's that highly contagious.
Well, lucky that you recognize, because that's the problem, is to be able to recognize communicable diseases. And as
yeah,
makeup artists,
they don't know how to deal with herpes. They don't know how to do makeup with that. I agree fully. They need to have a background in not just skin care, but skin diseases. It's extremely important because they don't understand how they can spread that
then
stuff.
Then they need estheticians, because then it helps you, because as an esthetician, you're trained to recognize communicable diseases and stuff.
And
you're working with somebody for 4 months. 4-6 months is like to be able to keep that skin clean and healthy. That's
mm-hmm.
the biggest thing. That makes our job
yeah.
easier.
But,
yeah.
But not just that, but as an esthetician, one of the first things you learn is sanitation, and most makeup artists don't even understand
ooh.
That. They can't
God,
even tell
the tips
her.
That I've seen. Oh, yeah, yoy.
Santa who?
Not going to learn that on YouTube.
No.
Santa
who? Sorry, I couldn't resist, but that's the truth.
I love tips. Good one, Suzanne.
Yeah, I mean, Santa, what?
Right.
They
don't get it.
Boss is nasty.
Well, I'll tell you what. When I went to hair school to get my cosmetology, you have to go over all of that stuff with the skin. But they only touch on it, and I always felt like it was lacking even there. And I always took it further to where the point I got the nickname Doc Seidman. But because I just felt like it was really important. And I agree with you. They have to take it further than just the basic cosmetology license. It's got to be a real study of all of that. It's important.
It's unbelievable because I remember writing a piece for a website. So I went on recently to check the website. And the first picture that came up was the nastiest looking makeup kit I have ever seen in my entire life. And I'm going, is that even a photo on your website? And the first photo at that. I mean, how can you have a makeup kit with the stuff looking so nasty?
Mm-mm.
It's unbelievable.
Right. Mm. Well, you know that there are makeup artists out there. I worked with one doing promotional photo shoots for one of the series I was working on, and they brought in the makeup artist for one of these big magazines. And she used the same puffs and sponges on both the talent. And I went up to her and I said, the reason they'd sent me was to make sure this didn't happen because one of the talents always had a problem with oral herpes. And here this person was, this makeup artist, using the same makeup right out of the dish, not even putting it on a palette, same puffs that were filthy, sponges that were filthy, and brushes that were filthy, on this talent that I had to work on every single week. And
that's
then intermingling everything.
Man.
It was
where in the world right now, each artist when you're on a show should have their own brush kit.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's it.
I don't play that. Each one has their own
brush. That's exactly what I used to do, yeah.
Because you don't have time for that.
No. Everybody you're working with should have their own brush set. Yep,
yeah.
I agree with
Thank
you.
Thank you.
You know what? It's laziness. It's artists.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they lack the integrity to go through and clean their kits and their brushes because they just don't do it. And that's the first thing that I do when I come home. I mean, when I use a brush, it goes into the dirty pile.
Yeah,
but
the brush
I'm telling you, and Marietta, you and I come from Hollywood. We were trained there, and that is one of the things that we got beat into our heads before we beat faces, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
I have the same UVC sanitizer at my office that I have at home, and after I clean my brushes, they go right in there. And you have to. That is one of your jobs as a makeup artist. That is the number one thing that you have got to get right is that you can't go to your next job with a dirty kit. So when you come home, clean it, clean your brushes, so you aren't stuck prepping it for the next job. Just, you know, it's already done.
I clean as I'm packing up.
Ready to go out.
As I'm packing up at the job, I clean my brushes then because I can bring brush cleaner with me.
There's no excuse.
I keep bags. I scoot all my stuff into a bag that needs cleaning, my dirty brushes, my puffs, everything that need cleaning, and I separate them just so I can get out of the room and go. And then when I come home, I wash everything and stuff. Because, exactly. When I do a show, it's like each actor has their own brushes and stuff. Because
you have to have their own bags, too.
Yeah, their own bag with brushes in it and everything. I mean, and, you know, brushes, you can go to Target and pick up a bunch of brushes for nothing. You can get them from Target for nothing.
I mean, cleaning also means wiping down your palettes. Going in and, you know, I spend the time to really clean them. I mean, I even clean in between the little squares. That's how anal I am. But, you know, when you put your kit out, and you're working with high-profile people, and you put your dirty palettes out there. I mean, come on now, that's unconscionable. A high-profile
people
see that, and they're going to associate you being a dirty makeup artist, and they're not going to want to work with you again.
You know, it's so funny. You're getting paid big bucks to do this stuff. It's not, you know, come on. It just makes no sense.
I mean, you can't. When you lay your stuff out, it needs to be as clean as and pristine as possible. And that's a sense of pride, too, as a makeup artist, that, you know, you take pride in having a really nice, clean kit, and it's very, very presentable, and at any time, anybody can go in there and see how really nice and clean it is.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take another question or comment from Hello.
Hello, it's Frances. Hi.
Hi, Frances. How are you?
I'm good. How are you ladies doing?
We're great.
Good. Well, I do not have a question. I just have a comment. I just wanted to say that, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I just wanted to say that the time that I have been a part of Beauty Talk, I really appreciate all the knowledge that I've received, you know, from all of the guests that you guys have had on, and I just appreciate, you know, the passion that you guys have for what you do and, you know, trying to trailblaze everything down to, you know, aspiring artists. So I just wanted to say that I appreciate, you know, you both, Janice and Denise, and Jen and Sarah and Miss Suzanne, you know, just for the knowledge that you all pour out to us every week during Beauty Talk.
Oh, thank you for that. Appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
I thank Denise and Janice for the opportunity that they're so open to bringing this avenue to everybody.
Yeah.
Great.
And we appreciate you all coming on. First of all, those who tune in every week and just listen to the show, because if you didn't listen, we would have no reason to do this. And thank you, Suzanne, for coming on every other week with your HD technique. What is the proper name? I always mess it up. What was it that you called this?
I think we just kind of coined it one day as
update.
The HD technology and technique update. This is basically what it is.
I mess it up every
news
time
brief.
I try to say it.
And we've been doing it for about a year now, I think, and it's been great.
Yeah. So I really appreciate it. And Sarah for stepping in whenever you couldn't be around. And
I know, she's wonderful.
Oh, yes, you blessed me. Both of you blessed me a lot. So.
Well, it's, you know, and I'm trying to get Marietta to come out and do a class in D.C.,
I'm ready.
You just say the word.
I am ready.
You need to
not
come
in the
here.
Weather.
You know, and I wanted to just make one comment is, yes, there's a lot of ways, you know, to learn via other senses, but you know what? If you're truly going to be a professional, you need at some point in your career to have a professional interface, to sit under somebody, to, you know, sit under their instructions so you can get it under your fingers so you can know if you're going in the right direction with your career. How would you ever know if you didn't have some kind of professional interface? I'm not talking about taking tons and tons of classes, but, you know, videos and the Internet, you know, that's all fine and good, but you really do need to have a tactical experience with a professional at some point. You need to know. You need to really, it will absolutely infuse you with ways that you can't see, that you could never pick up yourself. And it's just my, you know, my point of view. I don't think I could have really come as far as I had if I didn't sit under professionals. And I did it every opportunity I could. I traveled. I made the investment. I did. And I can honestly say from that experience that it really did have an impact on me going in the right direction with what I wanted to do with my particular career field.
Absolutely. Well, Creatively Yours, you're still on the phone, right?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Ask you a question? Yeah, I can hear you. You were one of the ones selected to be Crystal Wright, an intern for Crystal Wright for next year, correct?
Correct.
Let me ask you, and you're a makeup artist?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And I wanted to ask Sharon Tina when she was on the line, but she's off now because she was also one of them that was selected. I just wanted to ask you, how do you feel that this internship is going to help you advance your career as a makeup artist?
Oh, wow. There's so many facets to it, I think, but I think primarily the fact that I'm learning how to be a true professional from a true professional in terms of how to send out, you know, how to solicit business, how to conduct myself as a brand. That's really been something that Crystal has been instilling in us, how to represent our brand. Just the fact that I'm going to get to have so many great conversations with such respected insiders and just, you know, I just think that at the end of the day when I update my CV and it says that I was an intern, I think that that in and of itself speaks volumes. But we're also going through a process where we are having to donate our time back into the communities that we live in as well as do something nationally. And I think it says a lot that if you can take your talent and give it back and donate your time, volunteer your time, I think that that's something really big too. So there's lots of ways that I think it's going to be valuable.
Right. Okay, I just wanted to ask because I knew it was a couple of you on the line, so I wanted to make sure I asked how you thought, because I know Sharon Tina, if I'm correct, wants to own her own agency and represent makeup artists and hairstylists and other artists. So I just wanted to know from her standpoint as well. So if she's in the chat room or listening, call in and let us know your thoughts on that. Now, J.K. Hunter, you're still on the phone?
I am.
You've been
sure
too
am.
Quiet. You've been
no,
too quiet.
No, I thought you had me on hold. I would have been talking.
No.
You told me. I talked all the time. I thought
no.
I was on hold.
No. No, I just told you to hold your comments for a second, but I didn't put you on hold.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Okay. Well, do you have any comments on all of the stuff that we've been talking about so far?
Well, man, I agree with the, I somewhat agree with the licensing of makeup artists. However, I think the difficulty in that is going to be who's going to be the jurisdictional parties that are over that. Is it going to be each state? And then the licensing of a variety of schools, you know, when people becoming accredited is going to be a major issue. I've had someone call me about that. She didn't do makeup or hair. But she wouldn't tell me why, and she was in North Carolina. She wanted everybody to be licensed. So I mean, that's a good and a bad with that when it comes to what you all are talking about not knowing basic diseases and skin types and care. We do need that because a lot of
First of all, it's under each state has their own licensing procedures. So
yes.
If you become an esthetician, your license is under
hair.
Then that's covered totally. Schools, individual schools, the accreditation process for schools is a tremendous, tremendous process. But once the school's accredited, every 5 years they have to go through that process again to make sure that they're in compliance with the accreditation.
But we're going to end up getting some accredited people who are good going through the loop, but will not be good at teaching you makeup, just like it is with hair. When you go to certain hair schools or barber schools, you will not learn what you need to learn. So we're going to get some of that. And so it's still going to be a weeding out process of going to the right school.
But makeup schools fall under a whole different jurisdiction than the skincare schools. When you go for makeup schools, you don't have to take an exam, a state board exam, like you do skincare school. So any skincare school in the state that you're in, once you become an esthetician, you get licensed as an esthetician, not as a makeup artist.
Gotcha.
You don't license as a makeup artist. You get licensed as an esthetician. Makeup artists aren't licensed.
In the state of Tennessee, they have a 300-hour course that you supposedly can take to be a makeup artist. None of the makeup artists here have taken it. I have the hours. Nobody else does.
Who work strictly in salons. Makeup artists who enter the entertainment industry as a profession are not required to be licensed.
To work in a salon environment.
In the state of Maryland, when I back in 98, in the state of Maryland, you had to be a makeup artist, like you said, in salons, or if you were working out of in a salon or a department store, in the state of Maryland, you had to be a licensed makeup artist. So that was whether you took the aesthetic course or you took a makeup artist.
About the lady that called me, she was talking about those of us who are on set. She wanted everybody to have a license. And I was like, I don't know if that's going to happen. I was like, that's going to be a difficult thing to happen if you want everybody that works on a photo shoot, a movie, a video, or anything that's touching anybody's skin to be licensed. This was just a woman calling me out of the blue from North Carolina who wanted my help in assisting to try to get makeup people to have to be licensed in every state. And I asked her what was her plan and how did she think she was going to get that accomplished if she wasn't a makeup artist and why did she want it? And she didn't really have any answers for me.
I have to say that licensing does not mean that a makeup artist is qualified. From my understanding from many makeup artists in the state of Maryland, you just have to prove that you did 60 hours. You sign an affidavit that says that you took 60 hours or you have the experience and you pay your money. It is purely a bureaucratic means of collecting money. They have no manpower whatsoever to enforce licensure. I don't know anybody, and I could be wrong, but personally, I don't think anybody's been ever asked by the Maryland Department of Health to produce a makeup artist license for inspection. I mean, do you know anybody who's had that?
No, I don't know anyone who's ever had to produce it, but I know now, like within the last few years, they cut out the license for makeup artists, so now you just have to be certified. You have to take a certified, take some kind of course where you show a certification.
But here's the other thing.
They don't have license anymore in Maryland.
They no longer have licenses in Maryland, but now they're saying that all you need is a certification to be a makeup artist.
The state of Maryland is saying you need certification?
You need a certification to be a makeup artist. I mean, I never really question it because it doesn't matter to me at this point.
Right. In the industry, we're kind of in a bubble. You know, that doesn't really affect us. But To be honest with you, when people say that they're a licensed makeup artist, it doesn't mean anything to me because they can come by those licenses in a number of ways. It doesn't mean that they're trained in the way that they need to be trained. And, I mean, that's just my two cents on it.
I agree. That's just like what I'm saying about accreditation. There's going to be plenty of people that would get accreditation but would not have the skill set to teach you a thing. So
yeah, and they can pass with 75%. Let's see minus work. They can pass with a minimum. And so they say they got that paper in their hand, but that doesn't mean a doggone thing, because even in the cosmetology hair school, to get through, so you get your state board to North Carolina, you have to pass with a 75%. You know what that means? That means they only know part of the knowledge. They just knew enough to pass that much, and they were given a license.
Well, they were about cosmetology is different than a makeup artist license.
I agree.
Yeah,
but what I'm trying to say is they teach makeup in cosmetology.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
no, I see what you're saying,
Sarah. Most schools barely teach any makeup. Even I'm in Tennessee. Most of these schools barely teach any makeup, if they teach any at all. They say they do.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's garbage.
Well, you don't go to cosmetology school to learn makeup. That's not their goal.
No, but they license you for that, though. That's in that license.
That's right. Yes, it is part of their goal. At least in the state of Tennessee, it's 300 and some hours to do makeup, even if you're talking about in the salon or depending upon what state you're in, you have to look it up. A lot of states have that in there. And a lot of cosmetology schools, as part of their curriculum, are supposed to teach a bit of makeup, but most of them don't
do it. Mine in North Carolina, I had it. And matter of fact, I'd already been working in the industry on Matlock at the time and actually taught the makeup class because I knew more than the teachers teaching it.
Hello. Right.
Yeah.
I've recently been asked to come to a cosmetology school here and teach a class. I just, haven't gotten deep into it with them yet, but they don't have anybody to teach it. So most of them don't actually teach it. And that's why when I started out, everybody told me I should go to cosmetology school, and I was like, my mother went to cosmetology school, and I know they didn't teach her much of anything. So why would I go there if what I want to do is be a makeup artist? And I went to Joe Blasco, and I know for a fact at least one or two of the people who were in class with me still cannot do good makeup. So let's say you went to Joe Blasco, you got your degree, piece of paper, whatever, you finished the requirements, paid all the money, and you get out and you still can't do every race and every skin tone. It's possible. So,
again, is because everybody who goes to makeup school, artistry is something. If a person does not have the innate ability to be an artist, you can't teach. You have to have the innate artistic ability. All schools do is help you hone your craft, but they cannot teach you to be a makeup artist. Nobody can teach anybody to be a makeup artist if you don't have the innate ability, the innate artistic ability.
That's right.
So
that's
even though you pay all that money, you go to
It cannot be injected into you. It cannot be hovered over you. It cannot be a seance to help it get into you. And I don't care how many YouTube videos you watch, it's not going to happen.
No, exactly. So, they can pay all the money and all that.
That's right.
Anyhow, ladies, I want to wish everybody a happy new year. I have to go. So, happy new year.
Happy new year.
Thank you for joining us. Happy new year to you.
Okay.
Bye,
take care. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Be blessed. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I have to say, I'm not totally against the license. I mean, because I can just speak for myself. When I was going to school, the big thing that they were stressing when I was in school was sanitation. So, yes, they did teach you makeup. Of course, when you leave a lot of these programs, you're still going to have to continue and go to, take classes or whatever. You're not going to have everything right then and there. But the thing that I like about the state's requiring you to go to school is because the emphasis, I know when I was in makeup school, was sanitation. When I went to nail school, the big thing was sanitation. I mean, I studied all this stuff for my state boards, and I would say 99% of the exam was on sanitation. And it's like,
I think that's a good thing. Yeah, they think that's excellent, and that's that, and you make a really great point about that. And the majority of makeup artists won't have that beat into their heads, you know.
Yeah.
Especially the ones that are, you know, learning online and doing these things. It's just not even on their radar screen.
Right.
It is. You know, if they don't clean their things at home, why should they clean their makeup stuff for anybody else? I mean, seriously. You have to be taught that. You have to be taught that as one of the integral things, that the very first things about makeup artists is cleanliness.
Well,
I interned, the person that taught me that. That was I was thinking that today when I was cleaning my brushes. That was, you know, something that was very important to the person I interned with, and I passed that down too because I think it's important.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I've been screaming at the top of my lungs for the past 5 minutes. Nobody.
Oh, we didn't hear that.
Right.
Oh, we didn't hear that.
Sorry. That pretty much was what I was trying to say like 5 minutes ago when everybody was talking all over me, so I thought. But I think Anyway, what I was trying to say is it doesn't really matter you know, whether the state, you know, is going to license you or not. It doesn't really matter how many hours you have, but it's just like what my sister was saying, which is the point that I was going to make. It's all about sanitation and learning sanitation. If that course teaches sanitation, you know, as far as your skill goes, that doesn't even matter because you don't really pick that up until after you get out of school anyway. But if the state requires you to take a course that teaches you sanitation, I think that's what's important. So I'm all for the state trying to, you know, license this craft. Like, I really think they should. I think every state should have, you know, should make makeup artists get some type of license, whether it's an aesthetics license,
anyone hear me?
Cosmetology license.
Yeah.
It doesn't
whoever
matter. They need the sanitation. They need to learn that.
If you could turn the volume on your computer down, I think it is. We're getting a little feedback.
Yeah, we're getting feedback. I'm hearing it, too.
Me, too.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Who was
yeah.
it? No, okay.
No. It was not KK.
It's okay. But, I agree. I just think that the sanitation issue is a big thing. I just think that's important. And I will say this, when the state of Maryland no longer started requiring that you be licensed, a lot of makeup artists here were upset. And they agree with the same thing. They feel like makeup artists should be licensed. And the thing is that back when I was going to school, no other state that I knew of had a makeup artist license. I felt like Maryland was the only one. I'm sure it may have been a few more, but I felt like Maryland was the only one. And I didn't see it to be a bad thing at all.
Now Georgia is considering doing the same thing, and I really hope they do.
Well, now
really
Maryland has changed their mind about it, and now, like I said, they said, you know, you can be certified, but they're not requiring makeup artists to to be licensed. Being certified is just saying that they took the course, which is great. Being licensed just means that they took the state board exam.
Right.
Well, and the makeup artist license doesn't require a test. It's just you pay your fee. That's it.
When I went to school, we did take a test.
You mean in Maryland? Maryland had a test
to be licensed in Maryland. Yes. And the thing about it was, because my teacher was state board licensed, she could administer the test to us right there on site instead of us going, you know, to a designated place where the state said, like when I took my nail exam, they sent us to a designated place on a specific day to do it. And in the state of Maryland, for makeup, you were supposed to do the same thing, go to a designated place on a specific day. But because my instructor was, licensed, or I don't know what the proper terminology was, but she was affiliated with the state board, they let her do it right then and there
on at the school.
And
like I said, that was back then.
Yeah, back then. But in recent times, all you had to, from what I understand, is you had to just show that you had 60 hours of 60 contact hours. You had to just sign
mm-hmm.
a certification that you did that, pay your money, you got your license. And, I mean, what good is that? You can, you know, if you don't
right.
have to produce a graduate certificate or anything like that, it's just basically walking in and say, I have 60 contact hours and I'll certify to that. Okay, let me sign it. Here's my money. Give me my certificate. I mean, what's the point?
Right. Right. Well, we have Cynthia Jones on the line. I'm pretty sure he has something to say about this licensing issue. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, Denise. Hi, Denise. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
Hi, she has something to say. I know I took, you know, when I took my makeup artist course years ago, you know, I did the whole licensing thing as well because I did want something behind my name, something to kind of sort of say, hey, I did take some kind of course that, you know, assures you that I know a little bit of what I'm doing at least. And I do know that mm-hmm. in my class, it was harped on sanitation, which made me to be as anal as I am today. And I have that little UV sanitation device.
Yep, that's what I use.
Gotta have it, use it for my eyeshadows and brushes
mm-hmm.
and whatever. But it made me anal where it came to sanitation. You know, yeah,
right.
you had makeup artists that can't really do makeup. But I just feel like once they took away, and I can only speak for this state, once they took away the licensing program, it just seemed like, oh, I want to do makeup. Oh, I want to do makeup. Oh, yeah, I'll do makeup. I'll do my cousin's makeup, and it looked nice, and it looks a mess. And they're not understanding, you know, they're taking their personal kit and using it on everybody. I've been on jobs. I've been places, like, let's say if I'm doing a bride, if I'm just doing the bride's makeup, and they don't want to pay for the bridesmaid to get their makeup done, they're like, oh, my cousin can do it. And I'm sitting there shaking because they're using this exact same brushes and everything on the bridal party. And I'm like, oh, no, I cannot be a part of this. But I did appreciate the licensing program, and I really wish that they would bring it back. No, I can't say that learning, you know, doing the – to me, that was the basics. And it was up to me to continue my education, and that's why, you know,
right.
from then on I took the class under Suzanne, learning about airbrushing and then HD and, you know, whoever else out there just to continue to build my resources. But to me, I think that was just the basics to really – get you to understand, you know, it did teach only the basics of skincare, but definitely proper sanitation, and I'm thankful for that background that I had. And I really wish they brought it back because I see a whole lot of mess today. I mean, I heard you all talking about YouTube. I don't even want to start talking about YouTube. And all the videos on YouTube.
No,
I just
want
to.
We're going back to you too.
See, Suzanne, we're not the only ones.
I just, boy, it's interesting.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, we're not putting anyone on YouTube down. If you know,
right.
if you do videos on yourself on YouTube, that's great. I'm just from a makeup artist standpoint. I want other makeup artists to do something different. Get your education elsewhere. And I know, you know, the way the economy is, maybe you can't afford to do some things, but there are so many artists out there, so many programs or classes out there where people are offering different things, and we need to just look into some of that. But we have 90 seconds left, and I have to just say this really quick. Thank you all so, so much for making 2010 a great year for Beauty Talk. We really appreciate you all. We thank you all for calling in tonight. It was I can't even begin to count the callers. And for those of you who were on the call and who spoke and shared information with us, thank you so much. Again, Suzanne, thank you so much just for everything. And Sarah, thank you for everything.
You're welcome. You're very
Francis,
welcome.
Denisha, Jennifer James, Marietta Carter, Lilette Littlejohn, J.K. Hunter, Creatively Yours, Sharon Tina, and Cynthia Jones, thank you. And to my sister, thank you so much.
And we're really looking forward to doing this all over again in 2011, so stay tuned. Come back next Thursday night for our first guest of the new year.
And we have 30 seconds left, so I want to get back to the question I was trying to answer before you rudely interrupted me earlier. Janelle Porter basically wanted to know about applying makeup to last all day. And basically I was telling her about how, like, when for brides, I will apply a light coverage of cream, foundation, and then airbrush over that. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And if anybody else has any other suggestions for her.
Yeah, I put some stuff in the chat room to her.
Okay, good.
Good.
Yeah,
okay. Thank you for that, Sarah.
It depends on the skin tone, whether I do liquid or cream, and if I feel like carrying my airbrush on that day.
It depends on the skin type and
yeah,
the situation and the weather. You've
right.
got to deal with the weather, too. That's another factor that's in there.
Happy New
yeah.
Year and blessed New Year
yeah.
to everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne.
And hopefully we're correct in saying this, but happy birthday to Jennifer James tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Jennifer.
We were gonna sing, but I think Shauna scared to lead us.
Okay.
You know you have to pay for that song,
right?
Don't let BMI catch you or ASCAP.
Thank you, everybody. Have a happy new year.
Happy new year, ladies.
Be blessed.
Happy new year, ladies.
Okay, be blessed. Good night.
Good night.
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 Bye. Night.
Good night.